From CBS News Bay Area, this is the Morning Edition.
A community is still shaken after a violent rampage claimed three lives. And this morning, the question persists, why did it happen?
I want to know what he was thinking. That's what I want to know.
Mock funerals are held on both sides of the bay in an effort to pressure the state to provide more money for public transportation. And we're out across the Bay Area for the first weekend of Pride Month. Good morning. It's Sunday, June 4th. I'm Kelsey Thord. Let's start with a quick check of our weather with First Alert meteorologist Darren Peck.
Happy Sunday. This is going to be the warmest day of the week. I'll show you the numbers in a second. But first, we're starting out with a little bit of the marine layer out there. It's not a lot of it. And what little June gloom there is all gone by late morning. By 11 a.m., there's just a few clouds at the beach. Everybody has nothing but sunshine. And when you look at the daytime highs for today, keeping in mind this is the warmest day, it's a little warmer than yesterday by about a degree or two. We're going to be near 90 in Livermore. But it'll be 70 in Oakland, 82 in San Jose. And look at the green colors coming right through the Golden Gate. There's no change here. The numbers in the city and immediate Golden Gate are running average. I'll show you a small chance of rain for Tuesday in the complete forecast in just a bit.
Well, this weekend, a South Bay community is left wondering why a man went on a deadly rampage. It happened in San Jose on Thursday afternoon. Police say a suspect stabbed and carjacked someone at Couser Road and Delwood Way in San Jose. Minutes later, he allegedly committed another stabbing on Hillsdale Avenue outside of a Target store. Both of those victims survived, but police say this case took a deadly turn when he hit and killed a couple on Santa Clara and 16th Street. About an hour later in Milpitas, investigators tell us he stabbed and killed a third person in a parking lot on Jacklin Road before he was finally arrested by Milpitas police. This right here is surveillance video of the hit and run on San Jose. You can see the suspect plows into an SUV. Now, it is too disturbing to show you what happens next, but police say moments later, the driver hits and kills an elderly couple. As for why it happened and how neighbors are reacting, Jose Martinez has this report.
Yeah, it's been 2 days since this tragic killing spree here in San Jose. The community is still in shock, and you can see here this memorial in honor of two of the victims. We actually spent some time today with one of the neighbors who also owns a business right on the sidewalk. She tells me she's lucky to be alive because it could have been her.
Pepino.
Maria Navarro is still trying to comprehend what happened just a few steps away from her house last Thursday. Her neighbors, Mr. and Mrs. Pham, were tragically run over by Kevin Parcurana during a horrifying killing spree. Maria tells me, I feel nervous and stressed because if that happened to people who were working in their own home, imagine what could happen here. Here means right here on the sidewalk of Santa Clara Street. You can see how close it is to the street. She says she's grateful to be alive, but devastated to see what happened to her neighbors. She says, I feel very sad, because we never imagined that they were going to die. The motive behind the attack remains unknown as the investigation continues, but neighbors like Jenny Carranza are desperate for answers.
I want to know what he was thinking. That's what I want to know. I want to know what he was thinking when he drives up in a driveway and just mows people down. That's crazy. Like, that's just like, and then when they arrested him, he was like, no remorse at all. Just, you could tell on his face, like, he didn't care what he did.
We have reached out to the police department for updates on the investigation, but there is no new information available at this time. Additionally, we are working to confirm the identity of the third victim, who was reportedly stabbed at the Smart and Final parking lot in Milpitas. Meanwhile, the community stands in solidarity, offering support and condolences to each other.
Well, San Francisco has taken criticism nationally for crime and drug problems, and now a political advocacy group called Together SF Action is apologizing for an advertisement about those issues that contained false information. Their ad on social media alleged that unsafe conditions at the Civic Center had pushed the heart of the city farmers market to the brink of shutting down. That image of empty awnings is unrelated to the farmers market, and there's no indication that the twice a week market has had any problems. The Twitter notice was part of Together SF's controversial Fentalife campaign intended to shame the city into action against the drug crisis. Fatal overdoses have jumped 41% in the first few months of this year. The group says in its apology, quote, "Our goal is to push City Hall to build a city where all can thrive. We apologize for our inaccurate inclusion of the market, and we removed the post." Well, people in San Jose were out protesting against plans to build tiny homes for the homeless at the Caudle VTA station. The city council voted unanimously to build 1,000 interim housing units at 8 locations, including this one.
We are not against the homeless. We keep saying that. It's just the location is not the right location. And we are sure this is not going to make our community better. When you, this is actually going to degrade our quality of life.
Caudle is one of two transit stations in the plan. Other sites include empty lots and the San Jose Police Headquarters.
Hope, love, pride. Proudly presented by Pet Food Express and Broadway San Jose.
Well, the weather was splendid on Saturday in Golden Gate Park, where the National Center for Lesbian Rights hosted its annual Pride in the Park event.
It's beautiful seeing all the queer community here. It's very welcoming, it's colorful, and there's so much to do.
Similar scenes played out in Pacifica during a Pride celebration and parade. This is only the second year of this event, but as Betty Yu shows us, it's already becoming an important one for the community.
Live music filled the Ingrid B. Lacey School, where all were welcomed at the second annual Pacifica Pride celebration Saturday. The entertainment at the festival was just one draw for 13-year-old Trixie Sensarian, who lives in San Francisco. Trixie said she became confident in her identity in the fifth grade.
I identify as genderqueer, and seeing other people just being themselves, like, in public is so, like, it's nice that it's possible now.
Pirates of Mary, yo-ho, yo-ho.
Pacifica Pride kicked off with a parade. Families, couples, and vintage cars rolled through Palmetto Avenue.
Pride events, they're like good community, and like people, it's contagious how happy people are.
We saw plenty of happy people and rainbow flags at the parade and festival, including these happy and proud parents. James McLeod decorated his 1948 Chevy pickup in honor of his daughter Gretchen, who's lesbian and lives in Portland.
On the front and the back of the truck, I put "Stop the Pandemic of Fear and Ignorance." We have yet to stop that pandemic. It's just really stupid that people are still hanging on to these old fears and ignorance of people.
When my daughter first came out, the first thing I thought was, oh, just another reason for people who don't know her to hate her, right? And she told me when she was doing her internship in Ohio, she said, if half the people who I'm providing services to knew I was gay, they wouldn't let me across their threshold. So it's important for me to be supportive of her.
Honoring the community is especially important now, attendees say, given that across the country, hundreds of anti-LGBTQ bills have been introduced in mostly Republican-led states. The ACLU has tracked more than twice the number of such bills in 2023 compared to all of last year.
In San Francisco, like, it's known as one of the most queer cities in the world, so it's pretty accepting, but then, like, everything in the rest of the country and stuff is not slaying quite as much.
Controversy is brewing in Temecula and Riverside County after a recent school board meeting where the president referred to gay rights icon Harvey Milk as a pedophile. It happened as the district was deciding whether to allow an elementary social sciences program to refer to milk in optional reading material.
Yeah.
Can I just clarify one point?
Sure.
The Harvey Milk section is not actually in the fourth grade textbook itself. It's in the supplemental resources of the biography. Then it just clarifies that he was responsible for some of the movement in California with gay rights.
Yeah, my question is why even mention a pedophile?
Several other board members, as well as parents and community members in the audience, walked out of the meeting after those remarks. But the board did end up voting to ban that material from their classrooms. Governor Newsom called it an offensive statement from an ignorant person, adding that he now has the governor's attention and that he should stay tuned. It's not clear exactly what he meant by that. All month long, we'll be bringing you special Pride stories from around the Bay Area. To see the entire collection, just head to kpix.com or watch us streaming on the CBS News Bay Area app. More stories will be added throughout the month.